This is so good for me to be together, all together. It's a sweet joy. I hope it is for you as well. Just to let you know, for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at here in the Sunday morning services, we're going to be looking a little bit more deeply at what it means to be a member of this thing called the body of Christ, and particularly what it means to be a member of a local assembly. For now, let's pray. Will you pray with me? Let's seek the Lord together. Lord, Denise sung it beautifully. How you see us. But Lord, it's right for us to turn this back to you again. Lord, you're the one who makes us beautiful. Lord, we have no beauty in and of ourselves. Your image that you made us with and in, Lord, we've marred it. We've messed it up with sin. And then Jesus, you come. And you come in and you grab a hold of us and you save us and you make us new. And then you bring us together and Lord, you make us beautiful. Lord, as we walk through your word this morning, as we look just at a few scriptures, Lord, help us. Lord, don't let us come to your word and then come away unchanged. What a waste that would be. Lord, save us from that. Lord, teach us by your Holy Spirit now, we pray. But Lord, I pray that I and each one of us, that we would bring willing hearts, soft hearts, receptive hearts that say, Jesus, come, win. Have your way in me. That you might be the king on the throne. Lord, that's what we're after. Lord, exalt yourself. Lift up Jesus through your word and by your Spirit's power and in each of our hearts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Some rube from years ago said, to live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. You know the rest. But to live below with saints we know, well now, that's a different story. Somehow we know that it's right that we're called together as followers of Jesus to be one body, to be members of one body, to have one head, that is Christ. But the doing, the working out of being one body, of rubbing shoulders and mixing it up in the lives of those around us. You know, my life is messy and the lives of all those around me are messy. And that's a different prospect. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're calling this One Body Sunday. We're talking about unity, but I'll tell you where we're going today. What we're looking at is how we need one another. How you and I need one another. And this is of God. This is how he set it up. You know, I think of this song. We didn't sing it this morning, but and I'm not going to sing, you know, I need thee. Oh, I need thee every hour. I need, you know, we sing that song. If John were to step up here right now and Denise were to step up here and lead us, we would sing lustily. We would sing, I need you, God. But when was the last time you turned to somebody down here with feet of clay in your need and said, I need you? I need you. We need the Lord, the all-sufficient one, but he has set things up such that you and I need one another. And this is a large part of what it means to be the body of Christ. The main text we're working off this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. If you want to use one of the chair Bibles, there's a Bible if you don't have your own, or don't want, you can look at it on the screen. But if you want to pull it up, I'm going to be reading from more than just this. But this scripture will stay up on the screen. If you want to read in a chair Bible, it's page 1320. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. To set the stage quickly, this is the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul to this early church at Corinth. And if you remember, the church at Corinth, oh my goodness, they struggled. But they were the body of Christ. There was so much sin in this body. There was so much wrong in this body. And yet over and over and over, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, says to these followers of Jesus, you are in Christ. Now live it out. Both in how you respond to your Heavenly Father and in how you respond to one another and how you deal with one another. Live it out. Let the reality of Christ in you come out of you. That's the same call that the Lord gives to you and to me today as the body of Christ, as followers of Christ. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Let's pick up here in verse 12, and I'm going to continue reading through about verse 21. The context here quickly, it's really the context of spiritual gifts. When anyone receives Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells that person, baptizes that person spiritually. We're placed into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is placed into the individual believer, and that Holy Spirit brings at least one spiritual gift. That's a gift that's of the Spirit. It's not a natural gift. And that's what the context is here. But we're going to look at this in a little broader context. Paul picks up. He says, for even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Think of your own physical body. Your own body is not just one member. You have many members of your body. And all of those members together comprise one body. Picking up in verse 14, he says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Verse 18. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. I was reading this really old commentary. It's about 150 years old by these three fellows, Jamieson, Fawcett, and Brown. And this is what they said about this passage. They said it's about unity, not unvarying uniformity. Let me say that again. This passage is about unity, not unvarying uniformity. We're not uniform, but we are one. And that's how Christ intends his body to be. These three fellows, they go on, they say, this unity is the law of God in the world of grace, as in that of nature. As the many members of the body comprise an organic whole, and none can be dispensed with as needless. You know what this is trying to say? You know what the Lord is trying to say to us? You know what the scripture is saying to us? This scripture is saying, I need you. God has made me in such a way that he doesn't want me to miss out on him by missing out on what he's doing in you. And he's also saying that you need me and that we need one another. You know, what Paul was dealing with here, one of the problems in the Corinthian church was there were some people who had certain gifts. And those gifts were more prominent, more kind of upfront gifts. And then some people had gifts that were more behind the scenes. And apparently there were some people that felt like they were less than. They were not needed. And Paul is correcting that wrong thinking. He's saying God is working in every one of us, and we need one another if we're going to be the body that he intends for us to be. If Christ is going to be lived out and shown to one another and the watching world, each of us is necessary. And don't you think that you're a less than. He's saying we need one another. And he doesn't want me to miss out on what you bring to the table. Let's look at another verse here. Just a little bit later on in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, we read this. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And I got to tell you, it's easy for me and maybe you as well to read a verse like this. And we see, oh, I'm a member of Christ's body. Check. Good. I'm good to go. I'm a member of Christ's body. Okay. Yes. I'm a member of his body. That's easier for us to see our connection with him. It's easier for me to say, yes, I'm in Christ. I was there when it happened. I ought to know. You just heard eight people's testimony of how Jesus Christ grabbed a hold of their life and saved them from sin and separation from God for eternity in hell. You just heard those testimonies. Praise the Lord. We rejoice together that God is still in the saving business, and he still is today. If you're sitting here today and you don't have some kind of clue, you don't have to know the day and the time and the hour. That's not the important part. But you need to know that you've passed from death to life. You need to know that if you're living on what you bring to the table, like Josh Malott said, that's filthy rags. And it's not going to help you have a relationship with a holy God who can't even look on our sinfulness. It's easier for me to say, check, I'm in Jesus. I'm a part of his body. He's my head. I'm a part of him. I'm connected to Jesus. But let's look at another verse. This is Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. And interestingly enough, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, one more time, the greater context here is spiritual gifts again. Spiritual gifts again. But we see something similar, but there's a little difference here. Look at what the Holy Spirit says to the Romans and to us. In verses 4 and 5 of chapter 12, he says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ." But then look what he says, "And individually members of the body." That's not what he says, is it? "And individually members of one another." You know what he's saying? He's saying, I need you. And we need one another. It's a lot easier for me at times to say, you and me, Jesus. And then there's sometimes when this simple, clear call that you and I are members of one another. Okay, what? Yeah. Because this pinky is connected to this pinky over here. We're all members of one another. Do you see how close this is? You know, because Jesus is perfect, it's a little easier for me to say, you and me, I got you. You got me. But what Christ wants you and me to do, to not miss this whole body concept, to be unified as one body. He says that you and I are individually members of one another. Did you know that you are a member of every believer sitting around you right now? It's impossible for something to go down in my life and it not affect you. You may not realize it, but that's the nature of the beast. That's how it works. I'm going to do something really quickly. You guys know, I've been here for almost 3 years. You guys know I don't do this, but I'm going to do it today. I want you to do something. I want you to turn to the people around you for real. And this, you giggle, it's okay. I want you to turn to the people around you right now, and I want you to say, I need you. Go ahead. Look at the people around you and tell them. Now it's my turn. I need you. I need you. This is what it means to be a body. It means to need one another and to know it and to live it. And it's hard to live it, let's be honest. Connection to Christ the head and to one another. They're both vital in the life of a believer. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, you know what, Mike? Not really. Jesus and I, we're good to go, and I'm not really that connected to these people, and I'm all right. No, you're not. And the worst part is, you don't realize it. You don't know what you're missing out on. You don't know what Christ has made you for and called you to. And what he intends for you to be in the life of another believer, and what he intends for other believers to be in your life. Because when he saved you, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, he's got a plan for you, and it is his plan, and it's better than you could ever have imagined. And I'm not even talking about heaven yet. I'm talking about here and now. It's better than we could imagine. You know, I think we get this in some sense. We've got the, you know I need, but there's a way that we can come to this truth, and we can come to this truth in kind of a, you know, I can take it or leave it way. Yes, I know, I got it. I read the Bible. I hear you, Pastor. I know I need. Yeah, I got it. But we can come to this truth in a way that it doesn't change us. In a way that we don't let God have his way in us. I got to tell you, I really like John Wayne as an actor. I like John Wayne movies a lot. Like, I can tell you a lot of the dialogue. I've wasted a lot of life and too many brain cells. Pilgrim. All right? But there's something about it. I got to tell you, as a young man, when the Lord saved me when I was in college as a young man, and now as a very middle-aged man, I've had to work through some hard things about my love of John Wayne and his characters. Because there's something about most of the characters that John Wayne plays that just doesn't work. It's something that the world applauds, but it doesn't work in real life. And it's contrary to the Word of God. You know what it is? Distance. Aloofness. Being an outlier. You know that idea of, I don't need nobody. I got me and my horse and my lever action rifle and I'm good to go. But you know what? That's just in the movies, brothers and sisters. That ain't real life. Because in real life, none of us makes it alone. I had an article sent to my phone just yesterday. I didn't ask for it. Some news thing sent something to my phone. There's an article just yesterday about how Americans are aging alone. I have no intention of aging alone, just so you know. I got a beautiful bride. I got a bunch of babies. I got the brothers and sisters of Christ all over the world. I have no intention of aging alone. I'm aging. I can't stop that part. But I have no intention of aging alone. How about you? That's the world. All those characters John Wayne played, they're just characters. You can't be distantly a member of one another, can you? It just doesn't work. If you took a member of your body, say my left pinky, if I took a member of my body and I cut it off, I wouldn't say it's distant to me, I'd say it's dead. We can't distantly, aloofly be members of one another. That's not possible. It doesn't work. Keeping myself distant and detached is contrary to what he's got for me. Sometimes we can bring kind of a cavalier or careless attitude to how we deal with one another. It's the norm, you know. It's the norm in the world, and it gets into us, and we've got to fight against it actively. Something that I think keeps the Western church anemic, not just churches here in America, but in the West in general. We're so rich, we're so full, we miss the concept of need a lot, I think most of the time. And in this one place, we need to see it. In every church I've been a part of, I see this. Sometimes a person has a problem with somebody else in the church. And instead of seeking that person out, like the Bible says, instead of seeking reconciliation, we just create distance. Oh, I see that person. I'm just going to walk on this side. I just don't have to deal with them. And we disobey the Lord. And what we do is we hamstring the Holy Spirit. We hamstring the Holy Spirit who wants to work something in us that we can't even imagine it's so good. But he wants to work it through hard things. He wants to work it through hard places. When there's a fracture in a relationship, the Holy Spirit wants to come and make that relationship not just okay. He wants to make it better than it could ever be on its own. He wants to bring healing and life. And then he wants to shine out from that healed relationship. But if I stay distant, if I keep myself aloof, how can that ever happen? Basically, I'm saying, no, God, I will not believe you. I will not give you this opportunity to work in my life and to work into life in the life of that other believer. I will not give you that opportunity. I'm choosing my way. And that's just as dangerous as it sounds like. We can't do this. We cannot do this. It's kind of like in a marriage. You know, you get married, and man, all those things that you think are so sweet and so neat and so awesome, and then after a while, some of those very things that you thought were neat can start to rub. You get a little raw. But it's those very differences that God wants to work in and through. And he wants us to cherish those differences and seek one another out. Not because we're all exactly the same. We're not uniform. But he's called us to be united. So why do we choose distance sometimes? I got a few ideas for you. One is spiritual laziness. Spiritual laziness. You know why? Because it takes spiritual energy to seek out real and deep connection with each other. Now, notice I said real and deep. In other words, I'm going to have to let you see some of the real me. And that takes energy. It takes time. And it takes energy. But I got to tell you, it's worth it. Yesterday, I was in our home. I was at my desk. It was the afternoon, and I was actually studying. I was studying for this sermon. And I got a phone call from an old friend who shared with me something that felt like a kick in the gut. about another old friend who is in a hardcore death struggle with sin right now. And right now the sin is winning. Broke my heart. And while I was on that phone call, I could hear my phone making little noises, which means that somebody, you know, I'm getting messages. And I didn't look at them or anything. I was with this brother. And I was heartbroken. And seeking the Lord, along with this other brother on the phone, for the sake of another. And while I was on that phone call, I got a text from another dear old friend. This guy's back in Texas. And he said this. He said, sitting quietly in my deer blind, he's a hunter. I've sat in that deer blind with him. Very cold. He said this, and he sent this to me and one other brother. He said, sitting quietly in my deer blind, praying for each of you, your ministry, your work, your wives, and your kids. And then he shared with us some scripture that he had read recently from 2 Chronicles 33 about this king named Manasseh who was full of himself but then humbled himself. And he just sent a text saying, I'm praying for you. And I got to tell you, I thought, Jesus, you rock. I'm sitting there doubled over like somebody's kicked me in the gut. And I got a brother praying. Don't you want that? I need it. I need you. I need these brothers. And we need one another. And I sent these brothers back and I said, you have no idea. And I told him, I said, I'm sitting here like I just got gut punched. Thank you. We need each other. We were made to need each other. What's another reason they can keep us distant? Well, fear, embarrassment. You know, if I get real with you, if I actually show you some of the real me, some of the real struggle in my gut, in my soul, what if you say, you know what, Mike, you're not really that great of a guy? What if I let you see some of the real me and you say, I don't really like you that much anymore? I mean, that's a fear. But I want to tell you, the vast majority of people I know in the body of Christ, the vast majority over my 32 years in Jesus, here's what I found. Give people a chance. Because there's more grace and mercy and love in the body of Christ than we ever know when we hold ourselves distant. We got to find out because we got to lean in. And lastly, I think pride keeps us. Just simple, plain old pride. We simply choose our way instead of choosing Jesus' way. But remember, Jesus is the head of this body. And he wants to have preeminence in all things, even in my relationship with you and how we need one another. You can see that we've got the elements for the Lord's Supper here. Brothers, I want you to go ahead and gather and come down in just a moment. We've got the elements for the Lord's Supper. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together. What a perfect way. What a perfect response. And I want you to think about three things. I've put some ideas up here on the screen for you. I want you to think. First, before we get to that, I want you to think about this. Who do you need this week? Who do you need? Who do you need to bear your soul to? Because if you don't bear your soul to somebody now, the next week or next year, when you just get the gut punch, you may not have somebody praying for you when you need it. And don't even have the ability or the time and the moment to ask for it. You and I need one another. Who are you going to reach out to? And I got to tell you, as I was putting this message together, I was even thinking, I'm tempted to next week come together and before we let anybody in the doors of this sanctuary to say, who did you reach out to? That's your ticket in the doors. Now, don't worry, we're not going to do that next week. But what if we did? Who do you need? And let's flip it. Who needs you? See, you may not realize that there are people sitting right around you right now, and they need you. But you got to get to know them to share that need. Who are you going to lift up? Who are you going to confront? Who are you going to comfort? Who are you going to strengthen? And who's going to strengthen you? Now, as we come to the Lord's Supper, there's a few ideas up here on the board for you. The Lord's Supper is a time for us to remember Jesus' sacrifice, to remember his sacrifice and your trust in him. If you are in Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus this morning, we welcome you to take the bread and the cup. But do it remembering his sufficient sacrifice and that you've placed your faith in him, that you're resting in him. And relinquish, if there's something you need to let go of, maybe you need to relinquish some things that have been hindering you from enjoying that need being met and meeting it in another. Is there some fear maybe you need to let go of? Maybe some spiritual laziness, maybe some pride that you need to relinquish. Call it what it is. Lord, that's not for me. I'm sorry that I've been living in this place and I don't want to live here anymore. Lord, let me be a member of one another like you intend. And then finally, the Lord's Supper is a great place to rest. Isn't it? In what Jesus has done.